call to order the Public Safety Committee meeting, the regular meeting at Civic Center Garden Level at 1333 Park Avenue, Emeryville, California, 94608. Today is July 21, 2025. It is now 4:08 p.m. Should we have the roll call, please?
Vice Mayor Carr?
Present.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Here.
Any public comments?
No members of the public and no comments have been submitted online.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the May 19, 2025 regular meeting action minutes.
I move approval.
Thank you. I will second that. Motion moved by Councilmember Matthew Solomon, seconded by Vice Mayor Carr. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes for May 19, 2025 have been unanimously approved. There are no action items today. With that, we'll go to information item 6.1, Alameda County Fire Department report by Chief West.
Right, good evening, everyone. So we'll go out and report for ACFD for the months of May. And first, I want to say thank you to Lieutenant Brown for just being flexible. We had an email transition, and it's not fun at all. We lost some things, I had some assistance this morning getting some of these items back up. So thank you again. Appreciate it. All right. So for May, start out with May 2025. The total for Station 34, they had a total of 86 calls. 35 had a total of 138. Grand total for both stations was 226 calls. Year to date, for grand total for both stations is 1,059 calls so far. Go to the next page. This kind of breaks down again in the categories of what type of calls we have for the month of May. So I report, as usual, on some of the outside fires that was reported during the month of May of 2025. So on May 5th, at 1890 Powell Street, we had an outside fire in which injured 35 responded to. When 35 had arrived, EPD was already on scene. This was a unhoused person cooking under the dock. The EPD watched the person put the fire out. We pretty much cleared the scene. So, May 8, 2025, on 40, the outside fire. When the crews arrived to the location, and they noticed that it was a senior media divide that was on fire. When they arrived on scene, EPD was on scene using the fire extinguisher to help mitigate the fire from spreading into the vegetation. When we arrived on scene, engine 34 deployed their engine three-quarter line and mitigated the scene. May 13, 2025, on 65th, another outside fire. This was engine 35. Arrived on scene, found an unhoused person that was burning trash and clothes on the barbecue pit. The unhoused person was confronted by one of the community members, and the unhoused person went ahead and put the fire out. No further damage and no spread to any structures at all. If you could guess what kind of fire happened on May 19, 2025, another outside fire. So 35 arrived on scene, small rubbish fire is near the railroad tracks, and adjacent to that railroad track was an unhoused encampment. So it potentially could have started from one of the, unhoused folks at that area. EPD was on scene. Notified rail authorities about the tracks was cleared and continued on with the railroad tracks were being open. So, and that is all for the month of May that was significant. June 2025, we're going to the first page again. Engine 34 had a total of 92 calls with 35 on a total of 132, with a grand total of 224 calls for the month of June. Grand total to the other date was 1,283 calls. The next sheet, and it just pretty much again breaks down the categories and how many, what kind of calls we responded to and what total, in a total. So I report on several of the outside fires. We had a report of a vehicle fire that I report on and a couple of structure responses in the fires that we had at the docks. On June 5th, 2025, the 5505 Vallejo structure response, and let me just go ahead and read the notes. And so this was on June 5th, okay. So units and from ACFD and Oakland Fire Department, they responded to this address. Fire was quickly detained and no injuries reported. American Red Cross assisted one elderly resident who was displaced as a result of the incident, and the cause of fire was under investigation at the time. The next report I report on is June 9th, 2025. This was at 3300 Powell Street, and this was the outside boat fire, a dock fire. So ACFD Engine 34 responded to the docks at the public docks. Upon arrival, crews was informed by a witness that a large explosion had occurred on board, followed by visible flames. The fire was extinguished prior to us arriving by the boat's owner. So the owner put the fire out before we actually got there. But what we did discover, the personnel observed a small oil sheen on the surface of the water close to the proximity of the boat. Proper notifications was made, and no injuries were reported, and no further hazards were identified. Okay, June 25th, 2025, 1041 45th Street. Let me get to that one, sorry. This was a structure response. Let me see which one. I want to make sure I give you the right one. Okay, so on the 25th, on 1041 45th Street, again, a structure response. ACFD, along with Oakland Fire Department, responded to a real light mountain smoke in the front rear room of a residence. Fire was quickly contained. No one was injured. Cause of the investigation said that the resident daughter was advised that cause of the fire seemed to be maybe electrical. They heard the residents heard some popping in one of the electrical units. So they assumed that this was caused by electrical fire. So no injuries to anyone, and fire was mitigated pretty quickly. On June 26th. This was on 4056 Hobart structure response, but again, this was a fire that was outside the building. Again, an unhoused person set a small piece of paper on fire, but immediately put the fire out themselves. So no damage to any structures and no harm to any community members. On June 28th, this was a series of vehicle fires. Engine 35 was dispatched to 3889 San Pablo. Upon arrival, what they did discover behind the building, they had three vehicles that were on fire simultaneously. At the time, PPD had stated that there was a small fire on the other side of the building. We investigated and found out that it was a small fire burning and small trash. This was next to the Lane Splitter Pizza Company. Again, fire was mitigated quickly. No damage to any structures, and fire was under investigation. June 29th, 2025, this was a report at 3850 San Pablo. ACFD and Oakland responded to apartment fire. Fire again was quickly mitigated, no injuries to residents. At the time when we made the report, because city manager residents were being evacuated for the notice, but after the everything was clear, all the residents were able to go back to the habitable places inside the building, and no injuries to any firefighters or community members. And that is pretty much it for the month of June.
Thank you so much. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Just looking at the numbers, apologies if we talked about this before, but the largest category is EMS response. It's like almost half of the total. Is the protocol for an EMS call the same? Like, do you mobilize like all of the same materials and truck and all that kind of stuff? Because I'm thinking, some of those, what you might need for a large structured fire and what you need for an EMS response are probably quite different.
Yes.
So what's the protocol?
So quite different. Usually for an EMS call, if it's EMS call, we'll send one engine, and it's mostly medical. They have their own gear that they would use, but way different than a structured fire. We're not sending, well, unless we have to. If it's CPR in progress, we'll send two engines.
Okay.
But if it's a medical, we usually just send one crew.
Okay.
They have a standard procedure. We respond, and Falk will respond, or the nearest ALS unit. It could be Berkeley Fire. At the time, all depends on who's the closest. And so once we get on scene, we pretty much evaluate the patient, and we'll wait for someone to come transport.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I have no questions. Any public comments?
No comments submitted online.
Okay, any discussion? Okay. Moving on to item 6.2, Police Department Crime Statistics and Crime Prevention Efforts. Acting Captain Dower.
Good afternoon. So we'll start with May 2025. The good news is continuing here, happy to say. If you look at violent crimes, they were up slightly. They went from 22 to 24 incidents for the entire month. When you look at year to date, we are down 26% overall from last year. Under property crimes, we went from 24 in April to 14 in May, which up to this month was one of the lowest numbers I think I've seen in a very long time. When you look at year to date, we were 186 at the same time last year. We're at 103 this year, which is a drop of 45%. And I believe last year was lower than the year before that. So I think we continue to see declines. Total property crimes, we were down from April to May, 9%. So we actually remained steady around with a drop in overall crime around 20% year over year. We had 61 adults arrested and 6 juveniles. If we go to the charts here, just showing the only thing that we are up in year over year is petty thefts, which again we're seeing an increase in arrests and prosecutions in those, which I think once the word gets out, I think you may see that level off, but we are seeing a lot more interaction with our loss prevention staff and enforcing the theft laws. Our year-to-date property crimes versus violent crimes falls right in the normal range of 86% property crime to 14% violent crime. The arrests, you can see that adult arrests are up, as well as juveniles for the year. The juveniles, it looks like it's an 80% change, but again, we went from 10 at this time last year to 18 this year. So small numbers create big changes. If you look at the juvenile arrests year to date, the vast majority of the arrests, 13 of them have been for petty theft. The vast majority are released to a parent or guardian, with only 2 going to juvenile hall and 2 going to a group home. And 16-year-olds seem to be the key the most arrested age of juveniles. Next page shows the crime, the date, the gender, the crime, the age, and the disposition. And on to the beats. So we can see beat two, again, petty theft has been one area where we've seen an increase. Again, that means generally that loss prevention are out there doing their job, and our officers are following up, making arrests. B2 saw the highest number of incidents. B1 had the lowest number. And B3, 39. Highlights for the month. There was a robbery at Bay Street at Hit Sugar. The victim reported 12 to 13 suspects wearing black ski masks robbed him of his clothes and a bag. One of the suspects was armed with a gun, and they all fled on foot towards West Elm. A black Dodge was seen fleeing the area. Officers checked but could not locate him. There was commercial burglary at Los Moles, 1326 5th Street. A resident reported a burglary in progress. A gray vehicle was stopped in front of the restaurant with the suspects breaking in. They fled prior to the officer's arrival. The officers checked the restaurant and contacted an employee who stated the registers were stolen with an unknown amount of loss at this time. And then we had a residential burglary. This was a kind of a larger incident because it involved a barricaded suspect on 43rd and Adeline. So the owner of the property reported discovering the front door locks damaged and interrupted a subject inside using the shower. This was a known person to both Emeryville and the Oakland Police Department. He sometimes resides just over our border in the city of Oakland, and sometimes he doesn't have a residence. In this case, he had broken into this unit and was using the shower. The unit was unoccupied. I believe it was like an Airbnb, like a rental unit. So when the officers arrived, he was actually found in the yard between the main unit and this residential unit behind a fence. He was originally armed with a knife, but when the officers confronted him through the fence, he dropped the knife and fled back into the Airbnb, the rental unit, and barricaded himself in there. This was one of the incidents where we actually used a drone. That was the one where we requested El Cerrito. We had to search around and find one available, and El Cerrito did respond. We were very thankful for that. It was very helpful in locating where he was barricaded inside the residence. When we tried de-escalation, in fact, some Oakland officers were on scene that knew him or have had interactions with him, tried talking him out, and they were unable to do it. So eventually officers forced their way into the bathroom. One of our officers was actually injured in taking the subject into custody. Both of them were minor injuries to both the suspect and our officer. At the time, although the officer is still off work right now, but he was successfully taken into custody.
Is this guy 5150 or he's?
He's generally right on the edge of that. Obviously, in this case, he was a danger to himself, and others. He's been, like I said, he's known to both Emeryville and Oakland. He's the same individual that has called our dispatch center hundreds of times.
Wow.
And that's not an exaggeration. Actually, literally hundreds of times.
For himself or for any?
For just Rand. Usually he'll call and actually, he'll actually swear at our dispatchers. He'll use a lot of very profane language. We had actually had it. It turns out our dispatcher was able to contact the cell phone tower service and was able to divert most of those calls because he was actually in the city of Oakland when he was making those calls, but they were getting routed to our dispatch center by mistake. So we had a very diligent dispatcher that worked with the cell phone companies and was able to actually get his 911 calls that originated in the city of Oakland to the City of Oakland's dispatch, but not before he had called hundreds of times.
I wonder if he needs some help, because it says here he's a transient.
He does have family in the area, right close by, right on the in
border.
Oakland, but
yes.
just over the border from our city. I believe that there are various times where he threatens his family members and they don't allow him to stay in the house. Yes, he does. I would agree. He definitely is somebody that needs help. Fortunately, we try. You know, there's only so much we can do, and I'm sure Oakland is facing the same issue. At ECCL, the calls for May 2025, there were 57 calls for service total, 4 crime reports. One of them was documentation for a student having a gun, which was unfounded. However, a couple of days prior to that, a bullet was found in the bathroom. No other information on that. And then the majority of the rest of the calls were security checks or parking enforcement at this. And a beat map, and then the heat map for our auto burglaries. Like we said, now that you're continuing to see the numbers drop, you don't see very large concentrations anywhere. You see them kind of spread all around the city. 14 was a very low number. It's one of the lowest I can recall seeing in a very, very long time. And the line chart on the next page actually shows the drop there. Pretty significant. Any questions on May?
So what do you attribute these great numbers to? I mean, great, good job. Obviously your department is doing great, but is there something specific that can help you or has helped you that you've noticed? Oh, this particular thing is huge detriment to any of these crimes.
Yeah.
Is there something that pops out like that?
I think this is, you're seeing a confluence of a number of factors at work here. I don't think you can point to any one particular thing. I think the chief has done a really good job at instituting things like the beat system. So now you have officers that are assigned, you know, that have responsibility for a particular area. For a particular area of the city, we're seeing information sharing on our daily squad reports between the officers. I think the advancement of having automated license plate readers, the flock cameras, has definitely helped. I will take this time right now to apologize that I do not have the flock report. Our transparency portal is live and online. We don't have a separate flock report for you at this point. The sergeant that was preparing that was one that was on leave, has come back recently and is actually going to be moving on to another agency. So I'm working on developing a standardized format that we can then have other people that will be easy to replicate by whoever actually needs to do it. So I'm still in the process of doing that, and I'm hopeful for the next meeting that we'll have something that's replicable and easy and informative for you as far as the flock goes.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
No, you nailed it. I think that really the fact that I think I mentioned before during the annual report, change in public policy. I think it's definitely the new DA has definitely made a return to law and order. I think it's been significant help. And the fact that we have 60% of the organization is really young and they're really eager. They're really out there showing paint. They're out there being seen, stopping cars.
Mm.
So all those numbers are up, which usually helps to drive crime down.
So are these numbers, you have anything? I'm just wondering if these are region-wide?
That's
a region-wide?
The same question.
Oh, okay.
Smart people. regionally, crime is down overall.
So.
I don't know, I think our numbers started well before the region.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did start beforehand, but regionally, we're down.
Okay.
I don't know comparatively how much, but I try not to compare myself to Berkeley or Albany.
Oh yeah,
but regionally we're down. Nationwide, crime is down.
It's a very good sign. So.
Can I ask a
yes,
question?
Absolutely.
Going back to the individual who barricaded themselves in the house, so just we can.
Sure.
We take this offline if we need. But I'm curious, in situations like this, obviously, in some instances, a danger to himself and others, clearly causing issues here, but also it sounds like just taking up a tremendous amount of the squad's time and resources. So what are the, can you sort of walk me through, like, what is the process by which, like, who you know, obviously you're responding if someone is in danger or a crime has been committed. What happens then when you identify that it's the same person and they are in a state of needing some kind of mental assistance? Like what other resources are there and how do we respond?
Well, so if they need, you know, mental health resources as well. So if we identify or are able to or strongly suspect that there's some kind of mental component to it, depending upon the circumstances, we will transport them to, or have them transported to John George Mental Health mm-hmm. Facility in Alameda County. Depending upon the nature of the crime, we would place a criminal hold on them. So once the doctors have examined them and determined that they are safe mm-hmm. safe enough to be released, then we would go and transport them to follow up on the criminal offense. But the first priority is always to take care of the mental, and is always to take care of the mental health aspect of
yeah.
it.
And so this, assuming that they're found guilty of the burglary crime, they will then go to jail, or.
For the criminal offense,
yeah.
They could, yes.
Okay.
And he was charged with other, you know, 148, I think 245. And this person, he had some violent tendencies. Besides being medically, mentally incapacitated, but he's been violent in the past.
Yeah.
That's why Oakland's familiar with him. They
yeah.
came here to try to de-escalate,
yeah.
and it didn't work. And so normally this is what, and we've done this multiple times, we go to a place where someone's 5150 and then a place and they're by themselves, and they're lawfully able to be there, we've walked away. We've done that successfully.
Yeah.
But this person already did a burglary.
Yeah.
He broke into a
yeah.
location. Owner wanted him out, so we had established a relationship with him that we couldn't walk away from this
right.
one. We had to remove him for the owners because
right.
he wanted him out of the place.
Right.
And so, you know, it's kind of what happened. But our officers are really good about, you know, de-escalating
yeah.
and finding opportunities not to engage.
Yeah.
Which is different from when I was younger and we would just kick every door in and go
yeah.
get whoever out.
Yeah.
We've walked away many times.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm just curious, you know, clearly the status quo for this person isn't working for the Emeryville Police Department. But I'm just kind of curious how we get resources to people who, from my perspective, seems like they need them. I don't know, you know, if they would agree.
Well, there's CARES Court. There's several other things for mental health. So there's CARES Court that they'll put him through, and they'll offer him all the resources while he's there. But the person's got to really want to accept it. We've never gotten to the point in law back into the 70s, 80s where we had conservatorship, where someone's been dealt with so many times that we could send them to NAP or someplace to give them help. There's been some effort by some senators, some congresspeople to put some of that back in law. But it has been done, but it's a really concentrated effort to continually document and get in touch with probation, CARES Court, the behavioral analysis, health people in the county
yeah.
to make that work. But it's been successful, so I think we're going to see more of that. I just
okay.
came from a meeting regarding
yeah.
that aspect of law enforcement, this combination of CBOs, probation, and the courts working together to stop recidivism
yeah.
and get people help.
Okay.
Where they are.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, and the county is?
Leaving that,
okay.
Yes, it was, we allocated $3 million to CBOs, and probation is gonna be the pass-through for that, and so that's the beginning of that particular endeavor will start hopefully in the new year.
Okay, thank you.
And the county, we also do have, we will, whenever we can, call out county and their available county mental health resources to the scene.
Yeah.
To try and work with them.
Okay.
All the officers are crisis intervention trained.
Right.
And we supplement that with the county teams whenever we can, whenever it's feasible.
Okay.
Sometimes, obviously, when you're dealing with a crime, we may not be able to utilize them as much. But our officers are always looking for de-escalation or whatever opportunities we can to make sure that people get the help.
Okay. Thank you. No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, on to June. Violent crimes went down by one from 24 to 23, May to June, for a 19% drop overall year to date. Property crimes went up by a total of three, 102 to 105, and the grand total of total incidents went up by a total of two. So you're looking at overall a year to date drop of 21%, both property and violent crime. And the key highlight, remember when I said 14 was a low number? June came along and did me one better. Went down to 13 in June. We had 69 arrests for adults and 8 arrests for juveniles. Year to date, the only violent crimes that are up are simple assaults. And we had a total of two rapes. There was one year to date in 2024 by this time. Property crimes, again, the only thing that is up is petty theft year. And actually, there were two arsons and a few more residential burglaries. I believe one of the arsons we're actually going to talk about the juvenile offenses here as well. You see that adult arrests are up 27% from last year. Juvenile arrests are up a total of 73%, and we went from 15 to 26 for juvenile arrests. Again, we look at arrests by levels and charges. Petty theft is by far the thing we're arresting juveniles for the most. 84% of the time we're releasing them to a parent or guardian. Only two have gone to juvenile hall and two to a group home. 16-year-olds are still the largest number of arrestees. We did have a few felonies. If you look at the list of charges, one was possession of a stolen vehicle, another one was a concealed firearm. And the arson that you see on there, there were two, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. We'll be discussing that in the highlights. Going on to the beat matrix, again, beat two. Petty theft is the largest number of incidents across the three beats. Like I said, we've worked hard to try and stabilize these beats so that they tend to be equal. In June, beat one had the second highest number of incidents at 43, with beat three having 29 total. For the highlights, this was in beat three. This was the attempted arson at the German International School. Two juveniles, possibly with others, had entered an unsecured classroom and they created a mess. Part of that mess was they scattered and burned napkins inside the classroom and attempted to empty an empty fire extinguishers contaminated in the classroom, which was supposed to be used for summer school. The children, who did not live in the area, cleaned up the mess as we were waiting for the parents to arrive. The school director wanted the boys arrested for the attempted arson. The juveniles were cited and released to their parents. There was a commercial burglary. You might have seen this one on the news. It got a little bit of attention because of the interesting circumstances around it. So an employee reported that a car rammed into the front of the building, allowing several masked subjects to enter. The employee had locked himself in the bathroom while the suspect stole cigarettes and an unknown amount of cash from the ATM. After the theft, the suspects fled in additional vehicles, leaving behind the suspect vehicle, which was an unreported stolen vehicle out of Oakland. They were last seen headed towards I-80 westbound and reportedly used a smoke device to obscure their escape. You can see as we're arriving on scene, they're spraying out the window. The additional suspect vehicles were later detected by flock cameras in Oakland. OPD was notified and had similar burglaries in their jurisdiction. There was a gun arrest at Point Emery. An officer this was at 1:30 in the morning, and they made a suspicious vehicle check that was parked in the park after hours. Probable cause search of a juvenile who was ingesting marijuana in the park after hours revealed a loaded and unregistered Glock pistol. The juvenile was cited and released to his parents. And on June 21st, we had a shoplifting, conspiracy, resisting, and battery on an officer at Target. Loss prevention reported that four female suspects stole merchandise and fled the scene. Officers located the individuals and attempted to detain them. One female resisted and kicked at officers, prompting the officer to use force to effect her arrest. Two of the suspects were taken into custody without incident and transported to Berkeley City Jail and Santa Rita Jail. The third arrested was a juvenile who was cited and released to her uncle at the request of her mother. Calls for service at ECCL. Now that we're into June, we see a significant drop in the number of calls at ECCL. We are doing a significant number of security checks, obviously, still. There was some parking enforcement early on, right before school let out. And then the heat map for auto burglaries just absolutely warms my heart.
It's great. I mean, there'll be a day when you have nothing to report here.
You have no jobs.
People, you can train the other departments around, in the neighborhood.
We should enjoy this. I mean, obviously, we have we're starting to get into the middle of summer here. It doesn't take long for this to swing. We have school. We have people out running around. We tend to see all it takes is basically one or two crews to bring these numbers up very quickly, but.
Yeah.
We'll certainly enjoy it. While it lasts. I was almost afraid that our crime analyst had forgotten to put the dots on the map. I mean, so the rest there. Thought it was the beat map. And then the line chart for the auto burglaries again. You can't really ask for a better result than what we're seeing right now. So we will definitely enjoy that as long as we possibly can. And that concludes the crime stats.
All right. And so I have a question about this, the TV news one.
Yes.
This has been the case before, even in Oakland, where they have done this smoke bomb kind of thing?
This, I believe, was one of the first times we'd seen it actually captured that we'd heard about it. I think that's why it received such a good amount of attention when it happened. It's definitely one of those things that I haven't seen in my 30 years here.
So they got away basically, right? Because.
Yes, they did. They did get away. It looks like they were responsible for. I mean, it's a large crew, and they're responsible for a number of. And this is one of those things where we talk about where you have one. You have one crew that can create a lot of havoc.
Yeah.
A lot of times, whether or not we actually pursue, absent of the James Bond smoke screen that they that they threw up, our officers are always weighing the danger, the danger to the public versus the need to apprehend the criminals. So.
So the black Civic Honda, and it didn't have a number, or we just know this was a black Civic Honda, and we're keeping an eye out.
No, that was actually, I believe, that was the one that was left at the scene. It was an unreported stolen vehicle. That was, they crashed that one through the...
Suspect vehicle, okay.
Yeah, it was the one that they left in several other...
In additional vehicles. So,
yeah.
So they were, how many people were there? Several mass suspects? Do we know how many were there? Four, five?
I'd have to look up and see. It was a pretty decent sized crew.
Yeah, I thought it was in the double digits of people that showed up. When I recall reading, it was like 10 or 12 mass individuals showed up. And so this is really consistent with mobbing. The one that happened in Brentwood, they get online, they mask up, they go to a certain location, they do their thing. We try to track the intel as best we can, but as soon as we get to Twitch, they switch to WhatsApp. And so it's just a game of finding out that information. When we have information, we'll staff up, put a couple extra officers working. I on the weekend, especially because there's no easy way to get people to come in. So I'll staff up when we know there's a possibility, and we'll follow the intel, and we'll talk to our other regional partners about what's going on in their area. So that's consistent. We didn't know about this one. We're not going to catch them all. And so what we've done successfully, one of the reasons why I think that we've been successful, two reasons for the weekend crew is that the fly cameras, and then when we get their information, we're really diligent about going back and charging them and taking their cars. Mm-hmm. And so we'll take their cars, and also really good about when they have a different thing, when they have the displays of speed and taking over a corner. The guys are really good with throwing up the spike strips and popping their tires, and then we're capturing their cars. So they don't want their cars to get captured. They want to get taken away and towed. So far it's been pretty good with us not being hit regularly, because I think the word is that it becomes inevitable. We're going to pop your tires, or we're going to come later on and tow your car to the courts.
You were expecting more in the summer, right? More
absolutely.
Because wasn't it 2 years ago that the Bay Street around this time had the whole mobbing kind of juvenile scene?
Yes, correct. And we still have, every weekend we have juveniles coming. The parents drop them off, and then we go around, and they come here. We've been in talks with IKEA. IKEA is particularly upset because they're saying they just, you know, there's nothing IKEA for kids to buy, but they're running and jumping on their beds through their place and then on their way to some other location. So we've been in talks with them about adding our master fee schedule, and if they want to pay for that, to have that. We also, Bay Street just asked for extra cops for this upcoming weekend because of there's talk on Twitter. I don't know if it's Twitter, I don't know, damaged Twitter. There's talk on the internet about people coming to Emeryville. Mm-hmm. So, and we've also rearranged our staff. We put some other grant money. This is what we've been doing is we have a bunch of grant money, as you know, and where we place those grant services, we try to put it where we think there's going to be crime also. So not only are we also doing our OTS, our Office Traffic Safety Grants, or our DUI grants, there's also a force multiplier. When people see all the police officers out, they tend to go someplace else. And so it's been working in this multi-layered approach to crime.
Yeah. Actually, 2 weekends ago, I did see, I'm sure you're aware, because I did see the police car, I think it was officer car, going up and down Bay Street, because there was a whole bunch of bicycles and both in motorbikes, and everyone was just driving up and down like not obeying any traffic signs. What was that?
So that one was the bike. So every once in a while there's a bicycle coalition, a group of young adults, and they'll just run with hundreds of kids through the city, and they'll go from Berkeley to Oakland, and we're right in the middle. They'll just drive right through, and they do what you just said. And so when that happens, we're overran. We're just making sure that no one gets hit, and we're monitoring for anything besides, vandalism. We're monitoring for that stuff. We're making sure no one gets hurt.
Right.
We're not arresting folks, but they're all in violation of the vehicle code.
We can't do
much about that.
Yeah, and three of them I could see, they just left their colleagues. I think they may have had some prior record or something. They just left, and the other people carried on to disobey the laws. They may have already been dinged for disobeying. So I think they were three of them that broke away from the crowd and they just headed in the opposite direction, and the rest of them continued.
Kept doing their vigilance.
Yeah. So, and then the police car was going up and down the Bay Street, or
So. Christie's usually the path they go by the park.
Yeah.
And that's just their back path. But nothing came out of that one.
Yeah, not thankfully.
Yes.
So I was heading out of town. I remember I was thinking, wow, what is going on? But I saw the police car and I was thinking, okay, everything's under control. So,
yes.
Good job. So just a few days left till September, and then hopefully things will be even better, like
yes.
August. Back to school. And
well, hopefully this is the last part of going right back to school. A lot of times the kids will go basically shopping.
Yeah.
And I go and steal a bunch of stuff to have gear for school. So we're paying attention to that.
Okay.
And hopefully when school starts, we'll be back to normal. This has been an unusual summer.
Yeah, I mean, these four women, they just had like a gang thing at Target.
You'll see sometimes small groups of people that will go in and steal.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was actually pretty brazen because they were stopped. One of the people was actually had stolen a large number of items, was stopped with loss prevention at the door, and one of the other juveniles in front of the loss prevention came up, grabbed those items, and then tried to leave. While the other person was being arrested for it.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, fought too.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably see that in one of your closed door sessions. There's an issue coming up with that, but we're fine.
Yeah.
But that one, they were very brazen. They've done it before, and they were fighting, and yeah.
Oh, so they fought with the officer on duty?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Because, so now, before the change of the district attorney, we weren't really using 661 or 666.
Yeah.
661. So basically, you committed this crime before petty theft, and we've already adjudicated that, and you're doing it again. And so a lot of people are being shocked to find out they're going to jail instead of getting a citation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's increasing right now. They're shocked and they want to fight. Because they've done it multiple times, and they haven't gotten arrested and taken to jail, and now we're taking people to jail for that, and they're holding to account.
I see. Yeah. So accountability, I guess, is probably resulting in lowering, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is that there are so many juveniles, and most of them seem to do this when they're 16. And this arson thing about the 10 and 12 year old, that was pretty concerning. Not sure what they were thinking. They were out of towners, both of them.
They weren't from this area as well.
I don't know.
We don't differentiate between where you come from, but we don't have that many juveniles in the city of Emeryville. Even the kids that go to our school, they're coming from different jurisdictions.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. I mean, I know that someone had asked about, you know, programs and things we can do for the kids, but we offer them. ECCL does a wonderful job of offering, and those kids that usually come to our programs already go to that school. And so these are outside of our program kids who come in and do crazy stuff. Because we know a lot of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're up there often, so it's an issue that we have for having a nice area for people want to go to. And the parents are like, oh, you want to go to Emeryville and drop you off? And the parents, unaware parents, oh, it's safe. There's no gangs. There's no anything. Go and have fun. And then these things happen.
Hmm. Well, at least they cleaned it up while they were waiting for their parents. So.
Yeah, that was unusual. I thought that was cool. I don't know if they were told to, but maybe you should clean it up. Yeah.
Doing something good. It's cute. All right. Thanks.
Alright.
Well, you have the overtime report, you didn't.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Oh,
yes,
bad. That's always bad.
Yep. We're on to the overtime report.
Okay.
May 2025. So overtime was up from April to May. We went from 160, 992 to 172,100. Look at that, the jump from April to May was mainly due to non-reimbursable OT, overtime, which was a significant jump in sick leave and backfilling for patrol, as well as dispatch for minimum staffing. And you can see the non-reimbursable year over year was up significantly. This was most of this month was dealing with at least one officer, the one officer who was off completely after being injured on the 43rd Street call. Reimbursable overtime was stayed about the same. It was up slightly from last year. Reimbursable overtime was obviously the largest amount. Apple, as well as some of the OTS traffic grant overtime. So again, we're trying to use that wisely and address both criminal offenses as well as traffic offenses. So high visibility, high enforcement. Questions on May?
No, but the grants I have a question on.
Yes.
How much were the grants? What was the amount? I think you mentioned.
Total?
Yeah.
We have different grants, so. Like,
for
like,
this?
Yeah, so this is like 45. So we have like.
No, that's okay. What I'm trying to understand is, so how do you get them over a period of the year, every year?
Yes. Yeah, if we get accepted. Prior to me, when I got here, we put in for grants and we weren't fulfilling our grant applications, so the state wasn't giving us money. So that was due to several issues. We didn't have enough staff, we had to run overtime just to run the organization. As we staffed up and we started getting more grants and we're fulfilling the grants and exceeding the expectations, we've been getting more for the grant. So we got $45,000 for the officer traffic safety, and we got a DUI grant, another like $88,000. So they all got up to like $500,000.
Okay.
That we've gotten for certain
Wonderful.
Grants.
Yeah. But you do get them on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. But it goes right back to the general fund. So we know we don't get the money. So
yeah.
Not like
Yeah.
I'm not getting that money back. So
I understand that. But what I'm trying to is the but you do get to make the decisions on how to utilize them to take care of the
as long as it's within the grant.
Yeah.
We have the grant perspective that we have to obligate. So usually it's education, enforcement, no engineering part. And so we do education, like when we do our
yes.
HOA meetings,
yes.
often those are used for grant because we're talking about traffic and
yes.
Driving under the influence. So that's how we bring that all in, and we pay for some of that action that we get. So it's been good, and the officers are really doing well with that and growing from it. Thanks to Fred and prior Collins, and then Steve Hennegard, our traffic officer, and Chris Andres, he was a traffic officer in another place.
Yeah.
So they really got that. I pushed a lot of these stuff down. I was always hanging up with the chief and the captains doing all that work. And so we pushed it down and it spread out and people found joy. And, you know, that's how we got the electric vehicles from those grants. So people are getting used to running their own thing, you know, teaching them to do those things.
Great. That's good to know.
Yeah. Don't look at me because the work is mainly being done. Sergeant Cassianos, Officer Hindegard,
mm-hmm.
Officer Andres, Acting Lieutenant Rojas, they're the ones that are really administering these grants and handling all the reporting requirements. There's a significant amount of administration that's
yes.
involved in it. And most of the time it involves quarterly reporting, so every couple of months you're constantly reporting in on what we've done. And they've done an incredible job at making sure that not only that we get the grants, but then that we utilize that money so that we're eligible to receive grant funding in the future. And they've done a great job at that.
Great.
And we've reached our capacity. We probably can't do any more accepting grants because there is ancillary duties and it's taken away from the regular duties. So there was another grant that came up. We just didn't have anyone to facilitate that grant. So you'll see this in another report I'll be doing in the fall, in our organizational assessment.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, on to June. June, we were down slightly overall month to month, so we went from 172 to 152. Non-reimbursable overtime went down about 12,000. We did get some people, I think in the previous month we had not only that officer, but we had a couple of people out on family medical leave, and they did return. So we saw a drop, in the non-reimbursable overtime. Reimbursable overtime, and there was a small drop in that as well. We went from 77 to 69,000 overall. And again, some of the significant was the OTS traffic grant and officer invoicing, including Apple and Bay Street.
Any questions?
Sort of related to this, you mentioned one of the sergeants is moving to another department. Can you, I guess, provide a general staffing update? I know we're looking for a captain and a number of senior positions, but also, more generally, how is
right now we're still okay. We're down three bodies.
Okay. 41,
including me. So, but three is small numbers, significant. You'll see the overtime increase, especially with the sergeant leaving, especially during the summer because people are on vacation also. So that's going to increase. And then, as you know from the annual report, we have several companies leave today. We haven't talked about staffing up. That has never been been a non-starter in our city, especially with the $12 million budget. But it's going to be interesting come 2026. We might find us back in the position where we were when I came in 2020, where we're down below, well below staffing. We're at a 30% vacancy rate. I think right now we're at 12. So instead of, again, using overtime to do these extra things, we'll be doing just to run the organization. And then maybe crime goes up, maybe it doesn't, maybe it stays the same, but it won't be the smooth running organization is now, because we have new sergeants, new lieutenants, new captains, and so it's going to be some topsy-turvy coming in the upcoming years. And we'll get through it, and we're trying to steady prepare for that, but that's the reality of, and it's not just our, it's several organizations, corporations throughout, for people leaving, retiring, we're just in that boat. But I will be asking, I'll talk to city manager about staffing up before the fall of the department, because one of the reasons why we got full is because I changed the philosophy of hiring. So just trying to steal from San Leandro or Hayward, I just said, we just gotta grow our own. So we got these young people who were not molded by any other agency, and we've hired them, we've trained them, so they only know the Emeryville way. And so it's been very positive in that sense of building a culture that's sustainable. But what's going to happen is that what could happen, and what I've seen happen, because I've been in for 34 years, is that, so they're happy now, but then now they're being forced to work overtime.
Right.
And there's no opportunity for them to move about. We're already a small organization. Mm-hmm. So they leave. So there's a bunch of things that could happen if we don't forecast and try to do something before that turn.
Sure.
So
that would be, I know we're now, these are much bigger conversations, but
yes.
That would be looking at, a new academy hire, which is probably...
It takes 2 years to get them all up and going. But between the hiring them, the process of hiring them, which we've done a great job of accelerating that, from 1 to 4 months, my first guy here was like 6 months to 7 months for various reasons. Then they go through 6 months academy, and then another 4 months of the FTO program, and then 18 months after that till they're off probation.
Yeah.
So they feel like they're up and running. So it's basically 2 years before you get a full-fledged body. And we've invested quite a bit of capital in them at that time. And we want them to stay, we want them to grow. So that's just something that we're going to have to deal with reality with the fiscal issue that we have.
Yeah. Thank you.
One of the key things, though, has been to prepare particularly our staff internally for advancement.
Yes.
And Chief has been really good about encouraging developing our professional development for the staff that we have. We send officers regularly to kind of a pre-supervisory class called Inner Perspectives. Almost every single time that is offered, we're sending personnel there to try and develop that pipeline within the department for the future leadership. That's a key to making sure that we stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we'll be asking. I'll be asking for funds to send command staff to executive training, which we haven't done historically. It's like I got tenured. At Fred and had Robert, who tenured folks, and these kids, and new lieutenants and new captain will not have that experience or those courses, and so it's going to cost us to train them, to retain them, make them really competent, and fit into the mold of what we're looking for in 21st century policing.
Do you get grants for that?
For the executive courses, no.
So you will need some funding from the city?
I'm going to try to make it work within the budget I have, but I'm going to probably end up asking, a mid-year adjustment. It's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But like, say, San Francisco wants someone to the FBI Academy, that's usually $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
SMIPS, Senior Management Institution, by PERF, is another $15,000, $20,000. These are the courses that most executives go to. I've been to them. SMIP is a wonderful program taught by Harvard and John Hopkins educators. It's different from regular, from the FBI Academy, where you're taught by non-police officers, academians, about how to look at the world, basically. It's at Boston College. I thought was the best course I had been to as an executive. And FBI LIDA, usually in San Diego, it's a multiple-week course. It's a very good course, too. Command College, which Fred graduated from and got published also for one of the things he wrote. Another great program. So these are the things that these two lieutenants are going to need to attend.
And also Cal Chiefs Executive Leadership Institute, which is
yes.
The Drucker School of Management down at Claremont. I was in class number one for that. That was definitely, just like the SMIP, a lot of very outside law enforcement instructors, very different perspective on things. Excellent course. So I highly recommend it for upcoming leadership.
Wonderful. Also, I noticed that you already did the police department overtime report very subtly. Thank you for prompting that, police chief. I didn't realize it was a separate agenda item, but that's great. Thanks for doing that. And so the future agenda items, are these for just putting on their placeholders, or should I read them in the record, or what?
No, they're currently placeholders. I think if there's one, I think originally way back when you were talking about whether or not you wanted to keep some of these kind of based on the original intent, because you, I think the only one, I think the discussion on exploring placement of a new police department building was one of the ones that was placed on. I think we were looking at maybe either September or the November one, Chief?
For
the
police
building?
Department?
Yeah.
Probably November. I thought we're doing drones in
September. Well, we'll do that for the city council.
City council, okay. So probably November.
Yeah,
I think you have more of the other ones as a priority, right? Police volunteers, you had fire prevention discussion on fire prevention. Fire chief, was that your item?
I think this is one that was like previous on there. It's been there for a while, but it's so no, I didn't put it on there, but it's been there for quite some time.
Okay.
So, anyway, so
yes,
all these were done before you guys took over as a chair. And so we had discussed, did you want to continue these? And it was up to you to decide which one of these was of interest.
Uh-huh.
And so these were all done by the two previous council members before you.
Okay.
And so the only one that I have vested, I'm really interested in the building.
Yeah.
And just getting on the CIP. That's, you know, I've been very forthcoming with that. These other things were like, we already talked about safe, just talked about safety and best practices.
Yes.
And fire prevention and in crime prevention. I don't think it needs to, it's not for me to decide what's on here, it's up to you too.
No, I appreciate your input, it's very valuable, but you are doing very good in reducing property crime in residential areas. I think you have made good progress, and Fire Chief, you're doing good with fire prevention, so I think that these are, as these have been there for a long time, and they are discussed, I think, on an ongoing basis. I do agree that discussion of exploring and placement of a new police department building is important. Down the road, like you're trying to build the culture with the executive leadership, with more in the Emeryville way, and it would help. I think this would help establish it. This a building which is most central to Emeryville, especially with Sutter coming on board, I think it would be very helpful. Keeping that timeline in perspective, because if they're going to be there in 8 years, you want to have something before they go in full operation. I would want to have something like that. So Matthew, if this is something of you know, importance to you, I would like to agree to vote it up on the agenda.
Yeah, I'm honestly fine. The other four are important but pretty vague, and I think if the two of us decide that there's a more specific item that we want to talk about, we can put it on. I'm fine honestly just dropping 7.1, 7.2, 7.3, and 7.5 and then reintroducing a different,
and focusing on the 7.4, which is the discussion on exploring placement of a new
police
department building. If you want to get it on the CIP, please put your plan together and let's do that.
Thank you. We'll do that.
Yeah. And so, any announcements?
National Night Out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
August 5th.
August 5th, yes.
In Christie Park. Okay.
And then there will probably be some other locations where, but we haven't solidified those yet. Pablo's on vacation. Acting Lieutenant Rojas is on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow, so we'll start getting that going about other locations. I know there's going to be August 9th in Watergate. We're doing something that Saturday, HOA meeting, but it's like not National Night Out. So on National Night the 5th, we'll go to other locations. Last time we went to Emeryville Apartments and Avalon and another location besides Christie Park. Christie Park's the main place where we met.
Yeah.
So, do you do one at the Huchin? Sorry. Do you do one at the Huchin Park or no? That's not yet.
We haven't used that location for National Night Out
yet. Not for National Night Out yet. I think
for other events.
Yeah, for other
events.
We've
done other events.
Yeah.
Yes.
Harvest Festival and events like.
Your presence is there, and Fire Chief, yours also.
Yes, we're
here. You are. So, okay. You are there. Yeah, I see you at the National Night Out.
Yes.
I remember pictures with you all.
So. Old trucks. Can't miss them.
All right. So, any member comments?
Nope.
Not for me either. And so we are adjourned. It is now 5:16 p.m. And the next meeting is going to be on September 15th at 4 p.m. right here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.